The success of our society proves that our system works, but maybe we forgot to teach our young folks that wealth is achieved by helping people to get what they want. So, if no one has yet taught you how the game is played in the big leagues, well, guess what? Now, it's your turn. Here's our rallying cry. There's a billionaire locked inside you. The key to freedom is information. The kind of information you find here on the Money Man Report. Now, here's today's host. Here's the Money Man. Here's Dan Frischberg.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Money Man Report and the Money Woman Report, too, because the beautiful Alicia is here.
How are you, Daniel?
I'm wonderful, and I'm so glad we're back doing this. And
back doing what?
Back doing this programs.
Wonderful.
Back doing these radio programs. But now we don't even have to worry about making deals with satellites, and we don't have to go buy radio stations, because now people stream this stuff and everybody can get it. And it's available to everybody that wants to listen to us. And it's automatic. They just get it.
So, are you going to promise that you're going to continue and do this and supply new
material? Am I going to keep doing programs with new material all the time? Yes, I am. Absolutely. But let's talk about why. What made us do this? Because we were perfectly happy on the beach in Florida, and we weren't really doing any of this. And we started to see these horrible television stuff of kids angrily breaking windows and fighting. And the main message they had was that our country, the free economy that made you come all the way here just to be part of it, that made me spend my whole life being part of it, that made us richer than we ever thought we would be, starting with nothing. We didn't start with advantages. It's just that when we performed, when we did things that people cared about and wanted, we ended up getting rewarded for it. Now, the thing that we were so stricken by was that the kids, nobody ever taught them this. They're growing up in families that actually think the economy isn't fair and that they're stuck. And they end up, maybe they're going to get out of it by selling drugs, and they end up in prison or dead or something. But they really don't know. Nobody taught them that the rewards you get are connected to what you do. And the more you help other people get what they want, and the more you contribute to other people getting what they want, the better your rewards end up being. And that's the way people get rich. And I was listening, we were listening on television, and a lot of these kids were thinking, they have this idea, it's like a Marxist idea. And it's that, it's a zero-sum game. In other words, if I make money, somebody else has to be losing money. It's like there's one pie and we're all fighting about our piece of the pie. But the whole idea of the American economy, the thing that brought you here and the thing that has been so wonderful for 200 years, is that we keep making the pie bigger. Inventiveness keeps making the pie bigger and bigger and bigger.
There's always room for everybody.
And when you help people get what they want, you get rewards, but you're not taking it from somebody else. Mm-hmm. Now, there may be somebody that's competing with you, and if you're getting better, 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 there may be another business that's not doing it as well as you. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is, this is not a zero-sum game where if I get richer, somebody else is getting poorer. I'm contributing to making the economy bigger and making everything available and making it better for everybody. And now all these things that we've invented that made our digital transformation possible. So we have artificial intelligence and we're doing everything better. Well, this is spreading all over the world. People are learning about this in India, where they're just starting to get electricity, just starting to get internet. And they get these ideas, and then they get better and better at them. So what's happening is they use our inventions, and the companies that invented them get richer and richer and have more and more sales. Now, the beautiful thing is, this is not stuck where somebody's got that, and when they get richer, I get poorer. I can own that company. Most of these things are public companies. Mm-hmm. I can own them. I can own a piece of them. So now I want you to think about what it would be like. Imagine what it would be like to wake up in the morning and know that you have thousands of devoted workers, people, executives, working to make other people's lives better all around the world, and that they're working on your behalf. And as they create these profits and make it better and better, you're getting richer. And all you had to do was to help capitalize it, to help put money, to own it, decide to buy in it. And that's the beauty of our system. You can do that.
You said you can imagine waking up to a lot of people working for you.
Imagine what it would be like, that's right, to wake up for thousands of people working for you. And the bottom line is, you can have it now.
Who wouldn't want it?
Well, everybody would want it, but a lot of people don't really know how to get it. Mm-hmm. And they don't know a lot of the methods that billionaires use to own more and more and more of these companies, because nobody ever taught them.
Yeah, that's
why
I came back.
They just think they have to gain it one share at a time, one little thing at a time. Explain, before we get really into that too much, explain why you decided to specialize in helping women get to be a part of all this. I never really thought that they weren't a part of it, but actually, as I've been with you, it turns out that a lot of them are left out.
Yeah, everywhere I met women ages 27 to 75, that's a big range, but majority of them said to me, I am not good with money. I am not trained to think that way. Since growing up, my family focused on, my brothers to run the business. And they just assume, I will get married and just raise children and family.
So the dad just taught everything he knew about business to his sons. And I like the way you put it. Bought a dollhouse for the girls.
But then again, imagine, these are women who successfully sent their children, runs a family, sent their children to college successfully. And at the end, when they're like in their 80s, the family has of their own, the kids don't remember them for some reason, ungodly reason, and they happen to belong to poverty line, because they have forgotten that, all this wealth that they've been giving to everybody, including whoever, because they never really learn how to take care of themselves financially. And they are so giving, and they give everything, even the last dollar they have, they give it to someone, a child, who is maybe 40 years old, moves in, and mom, I need this, I need that, I need that, and mom will just give everything, and at the end, mom has nothing. I've seen it many times.
So what you're doing is introducing to them the idea of being able to take some money and buy into the companies that they already know about. But not only that. Well, not only in their kitchen. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a man's version of it. It's not only in their kitchen. It's companies like Microsoft or MasterCard. It's not only.
They're very familiar and they use them.
Yes, exactly. Well, yes, I guess that's what you meant by in the kitchen, right?
Yes, they're in
but
their home.
But it's in the office and it's in the study and it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the point is that these companies already won. They've established a great way of doing things. It's allowing people that used to be unbankable and they just didn't have anything, and now they can actually buy the things they want They can actually store their money, and they can go to an ATM in India or in some little village in Africa. And because that bank...
We don't know who's the bank.
But it's a subscriber to MasterCard and Visa, and these people have a little card, and they can go in and store their money there. Not only that, but they can look online on Amazon, and they can buy things which they never could do because they had no way to communicate. Now they can take this digital money that they've got, which is really money that's in the bank, but they can communicate it digitally using PayPal and MasterCard and all these great devices. And these things are opening it up for the whole world. And, you know, they don't really take a lot of risk mm-hmm. because they're not lending the money. What they're doing is they're providing, MasterCard just provides a system so that that bank can make it possible for their people to be able to do deals with somebody in America or in China or somewhere. They make it easy to do. They facilitate. Mm-hmm. And this is very much like when, we used to do, I used to do a little class for kids, children, mm-hmm. about how they invented money. And it made everybody rich. And we were talking at the time about Native American Indian tribes. Mm-hmm. And the Indian tribes were, all they knew how to do was trade. And, you know, they would have they would grow some vegetable and they have a sheep. And then the guy wants to marry this girl. And so his family has a goat. And he's going to go and trade the goat with the dad of this girl. But the thing is, if he doesn't want a goat, the guy can't get the girl. He can't marry the girl because the father doesn't want a goat.
Is that the goat spread you're talking
about?
Yeah,
the daughter goat spread, you call it, yeah. But the interesting thing is that think about how much that restricted their ability to do deals, because every deal they did had to be a two-sided deal. If you wanted this clothes and you liked it, you had to have something I wanted if I made the clothes. If you don't have it, you can't buy the clothes. But I'm mm-hmm. dying to sell these clothes. Mm-hmm. So they invented, and of course they invented it in Rome and Egypt and everywhere. But imagine the time when these Native American Indians invented the two-sided transaction.
That you must like it, and the other guy.
In other words, yeah. So they said, "Here's shells on the beach," and the chief. It's not just any shell. The chief is saying, "These shells on this beach with this dark shadow. These shells, I sanction.
I blast.
I'm telling you, these shells are going to be legal tender for our tribe, and everybody's going to accept these shells. So now, if I want to sell my vegetables, I can sell them to somebody
using the shells.
I don't have to want something he has.
Yeah.
He can just give me his shells, and then I can use the shells, and I can go and find the guy, the father, and get that girl to marry me and give the father the shells. Mm-hmm. And it just, imagine how much easier it was to do business mm-hmm. and how much richer that tribe became. And how 20, 30 years later, they come upon another tribe out there in Wyoming who doesn't know how to do this, and they're thinking how primitive this tribe is, how much they're missing out on. And that is how it's advancing. So now, the reason I was telling that story is because we've invented a way that I can own a piece of that company, and I can be part of that company, that MasterCard that makes it possible for those people in India and China and all these places to be able to do deals and buy things from companies that are in places they've never been and never seen, because they've created that medium of exchange just like those Native American Indians did.
Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned, you said MasterCard, one of the companies that are successfully spreading all over the world.
Yeah.
So there's a certain way that you restrict touching companies in the innovation phase. You want them to be already successful outside growing.
Right, because when they're inventing a new way of doing things, it's a low margin, there's a lot of competition. Once they've won and they're just spreading around the world, it's so much easier. They don't have a lot of competition. The expenses aren't so high. Their profit margin is high. That's the part where I want to own a piece of that business, when they've gotten past the innovation phase. You're exactly right. And that is one of the big secrets of knowing what to invest in.
So in order to be able to understand, you're talking about, if I'm going to be picking up a company, I need to know who are my customers. So you're talking about the customers are those people that's, for example, Microsoft and MasterCard. Places wherein they have not even touched that part, and that it's the growth is exploding in that area, because then they're going to have all these new customers in billions.
All right, so we have a lot of men and women listening to us. And I've listened to you giving these lessons to women and helping to open their minds and get them to feel comfortable about doing all this. How do you start? What do you start with when you find somebody that, because it's really not that their brain doesn't work. It's not that their brain isn't good at thinking of these things. They've got the neural pathways. It's really about limiting beliefs about themselves, right?
That's right. And at the same time, you got to get the beginning part of understanding what is the stock market all about, because most of the people, they don't connect to it because it feels like just a bunch of papers.
In other words, they can't see the company. If they were doing business with a company in their town where they could walk into the building, that even if it's a girl who never had any training, if I wanted to sell her my store, she knows what to do. What she's going to do?
Automatic.
She's going to go sit in front of the store and count the traffic and decide if that's a good location first. Mm-hmm. And then she's going to look and say, how much do you pay for this stuff that you sell in the store? And how much do you have to pay that person that works in the store? Mm-hmm. And how much do the people pay? How much money does this store make?
Yeah.
And then some fair multiple of how much money that store makes is what she would be willing to pay for it. And by the way, the guy that owns the store who wants to sell it to her is thinking the same way. Mm-hmm. But now this is the interesting part that what Alicia was saying. When the lady that she's talking about thinks about buying that stock, she buys the stock, and then the prices are going up and down, up and down, and she doesn't know anything. She thinks that this is a game to guess what people are going to do. And she's looking at a picture, a chart, of the price of that stock going up and down. And she's just trying to guess what it's going to do next based on what it did before. She doesn't know anything about that company at all. Mm-hmm. Now, when I'm investing in a company, I'm looking only at how much money does the company make and how much money is it going to make later. How many customers can they reach in this new country that they're going into? How much is their profit margin, right? Mm-hmm. How much do they have to spend to do all this? That's what I care about. And if they're gaining new customers and new customers and new customers, I don't care if there's some bad news and it makes the stock go down today. What I know, because I've done this all my life, is that in the short run, this week, this month, this year, the stock moves randomly. Somebody died, they got to sell. Somebody just got married and now they're going to do this. There was a great news report. Some hedge fund wants everybody to get scared. They write some stupid article that's wrong. They go on CNBC, they say bad things, and now a couple of people start to sell it. And all these followers, these lemmings, see it going down, and they start to sell it too. And the problem is, your novice lady who's just learning how to buy companies, she thinks it's no good because it went down.
It doesn't have to be novice. You said, I've been doing this all my life. See, a lot of people, even though they have been doing this for most of their life, still is a human being.
We have to, I think we have to stop for a break, and we'll continue this right after this. Please stick around. And there's a very important video that we're just putting up on my YouTube channel that's going to show you something that you really need to see. And it is watching how the how much these stocks go up and down in the short run has nothing to do with whether it's a good deal or not. And you're going to find that it's a new video up on our YouTube channel. This is the YouTube channel is free. You're nuts if you don't subscribe to it because it's got all kinds of information. And what I've learned from watching Alicia, I'll tell you what I've learned right after this break. Let's stick around, please. We're back. This is the Money Man Report, and I promised that I'm going to tell you about what I learned from Alicia. Do you know what I was going to say?
Go right ahead. I know for a fact that market going up and down is either a good deal or a bad deal. You tell me.
It makes no difference if it's going up and down. The people are lemmings following each other. And there's a reason why they do this, because we're a mammal and we're